Before we get started, a brief reminder that any and all opinions and views shared by hosts and guests on this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Primal Kitchen or its affiliates or parent company.
When people lose weight naturally, they lose about 25% of their muscle. And this is why I'm so passionate about the protein sparing diet, because you rarely lose any muscle mass, if any, when you're losing fat. Protein sparing is not something you do every day. It's maximum 3 days a week, but you can do it 1 day a week. It's not really for someone who's 10 pounds overweight, because you don't have a lot of storage on your body and you're going to be miserably hungry. When you do have 100 pounds to lose, you will not be hungry. You're tapping into your body fat. Most people feel so good on protein sparing days. They say, can I do this like every day this week? And like, no, you can't.
I'm Morgan, co-founder of Primal Kitchen and host of the Primal Kitchen podcast. In this episode, I'll be chatting with nutritionist and international best-selling author Maria Emmerich. With her expert-level knowledge of the keto lifestyle, Maria has reached millions of readers worldwide, including celebrities like Halle Berry, Valerie Bertinelli, and Al Roker. Her popular cookbooks and nutritional guides include the best-selling book Keto, as well as Quick and Easy Ketogenic Cooking and the 30-Day Ketogenic Cleanse. With over 20 years of experience helping people lose weight and regain their health, Maria continues to coach her clients using a low-carb approach. Today, she'll be discussing how keto has affected her own health and family, plus sharing her knowledge of brain health and how food can increase mental wellness. And side note, I had discovered Maria 8 years ago, right when we were launching Primal Kitchen, and she helped me with my first entrance into the keto lifestyle before anybody. Before anybody was doing keto, you were like the keto queen. Like, you were doing keto before it was cool. So I'm just super excited to catch up with you on the movement, how things have evolved, how you got here. Give us the lowdown. You've never been on the podcast before. So tell the story of, we want to know, how did you get into this whole keto thing?
Well, this is going to be my 27th anniversary of eating keto. So if you want to do the math, I was a teenager when I went to the doctor because I wasn't feeling well. I had really abnormal cycles. I was pretty depressed. And at that doctor's visit, they told me that I had something called PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, which we now know is basically a type 2 diabetes that affects female fertility. I also was given an antidepressant. I was given an acid blocker and another medication for IBS, but I didn't want to take those medications. And so I believe it was fate that, you know, had this all happen. But I had a beautiful golden retriever that was losing patches of her hair. Her name was Tiva. And the first question the vet asked me was, what are you feeding her? This was a question that my doctor never asked me that. They actually said it was nothing I was doing wrong. It was just the cards I was dealt. But Morgan, let me tell you, I was in high school at the time. And before school, I would go to this coffee shop where I would make the scones and the muffins and the cinnamon rolls. And then whatever didn't sell that day, I would go back after school and we would close about 5:30. But whatever didn't sell that day, I got to go home with. So you think I'm lying, but I would make extra cinnamon rolls on days I was like super hungry because I wanted more. So I would have boxes of these baked goods. I was just eating the muffin tops, you know, like Seinfeld, you know. But that's how when I was told about PCOS and that I probably couldn't have my own children, it was kind of like a big, you know, bomb went off. And there wasn't the internet back then, but doing research about PCOS, you can quickly find out that it's caused by excess caffeine, sugar, and carbohydrates. And so I had a hard time eliminating caffeine, but I eliminated sugar and carbs, but I didn't want to eat like chicken breast and broccoli. So I was trying to create recipes like cinnamon rolls that were protein and things like that. And it changed my life. Like I'm grateful for those hardships that I went through because I have a lot of friends in their 40s that they've had habits for 40 years, 45 years, and they're like, crap, Maria, help, because their habits are ingrained. For me, changing when I was a teenager, my habits are this now because it was easier to change back then. And the fact that everybody thought I couldn't do it just made me want to prove them wrong.
Yeah. So what happened when you made these changes? Like how quickly were you like overweight? I mean, you're so fit now. I can't like imagine a heavy version of you.
Yeah. I posted once in a while, but I was, you know, like twice my size. And you know, I'm only 5'2". And so I was pretty round. I was you know, pretty an active person, but you can't outrun a bad diet. You know, you can't outrun any cinnamon rolls like that. I also, yeah, you know, when I started the diet, back to your question, I didn't lose weight right away, but I can tell you why, but I didn't lose weight right away, but I did. My depression went away right away. My acid reflux totally went away. I felt so good. I was like, I'm hooked. Like, I don't care if I'm always a size. I didn't really care about my weight. It was everything else that bothered me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was totally hooked, but I was eating a lot of cheese, a lot of nuts. You know, I think that's a big problem when someone starts the ketogenic diet is easy things are eating cheese and nuts. And those two things, that's why most of my books are dairy and nut free, because those are the two things that really hold people back from weight loss. But think about it. Squirrels, they eat a bunch of nuts before they fatten up for a long winter, right?
Right.
And they're fat and carbohydrates. And when you look at like macronutrients, fat plus carbohydrates is a great way to put weight on. Do you know the show Naked and Afraid?
Yeah.
I had a girl reach out to me. She's like, Maria, I'm going on Naked and Afraid and I want to put weight on before I go on the show because I need to be
to
able
have
to
something lose. To live
yeah,
off of. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And I was like, well, you can go about this two ways. You can just eat a bunch of crap, you know, and put the weight on, or, you know, I can strategically help you and even pick out ketogenic foods and, you know, put some weight on. It's going to be a little bit slower, but it's going to be a healthier weight that long term. I think you have to think about, you know, when we're putting that unhealthy weight on so quickly, you know, long term yo-yoing like that is not a great way to live. Right.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder if you put it on slower and healthier, does it like sustain you a little longer? I don't know. How'd she do on the show? Like, I'm so curious.
I'll have to watch it. I actually never actually saw the show, but I did want to watch her. So I'll definitely watch the reruns just to see like how she did. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Interesting.
But I know she made it a long way.
Yeah. So you mentioned, and I'm assuming cheese and nuts is maybe the reason, but you mentioned you didn't lose weight initially. Was it because of the excess dairy and nuts?
Yeah. And like when you look into, I almost don't like saying that I'm keto anymore because with the popularity of keto, you know, I'm almost grateful for those times. 20 years ago, I was a crazy lady. People literally thought I was crazy. And I was like, that's fine. Yeah. You want help?
Yeah.
You know, it was just word of mouth too, that people were like, oh, she knows what she's doing. And that's pretty cool. But now everybody jumped on the bandwagon and you find, you know, keto bread at Costco and keto brownies at Duncan Hines and this and that. It's just junk. And it's not, it's not gluten-free. It's not, to me, it's not keto. It's using a bunch of chemicals and stuff to make a product that people miss. But people mistakenly think keto is a high fat diet, moderate protein, low carbohydrate. Like that's just standard, boom, boom, boom. That's how you eat. However, if you have a lot of body fat, that high fat diet can come from your body fat or externally. So if you're eating a high fat diet and you're not utilizing your body fat for ketones, you're not going to lose weight.
Interesting.
You might at first, if you're going from like a really bad standard American diet of, you know, cereal and donuts and things like that. And then you eliminate those, you know, you're going to feel somewhat better. However, there's going to be a point where nobody likes me saying this, but calories do matter.
Yeah.
And when you're drinking heavy cream and butter in your coffee and, not focusing on protein, your body composition is going to change. So you might see it on the scale that your weight's going down, but your body composition is not getting better. So this is why when I work with someone, I start with what's your why? What do you want to accomplish? Because that's going to make me design a diet differently for you. Yeah. And 99% of people, they might have high blood pressure or something else, but they want to lose weight.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, because losing weight is going to help with a whole bunch of like metabolic issues, like type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, like all of these things. Right. So if weight loss is your goal, I'm going to teach them that using your body fat for ketones is great. We're going to do that. So we're going to dial that fat lever down and we're probably going to bump the protein up. However, I wouldn't do that if someone had seizures or epilepsy or cancer. I'm going to keep that protein low because too much protein could keep them away from a higher ketone number. but a higher ketone number does not correlate to more fat loss. My ketones are extremely low. The longer you've been keto, the lower
your ketones are.
Yeah, because your mitochondria is more efficient. And I also run in a fasted state and lift weights. So I'm using those ketones for energy. So I have less in my bloodstream. I'm not concerned with having a very low number. It doesn't mean anything with it when it comes to health.
I remember when I worked with you forever ago, you're probably like, I vaguely remember who you are. It was so long ago. You've probably had 10,000 clients since then. But I was on 20, this was big in the time, remember, like the net carb thing. So everyone was like, oh, like all these bars, like I totally feel you, because even we saw it in the paleo movement, right? Like I remember people being like, it's paleo brownies. And I'm like, there's 60 grams of sugar in this one brownie, just because it's in the form of maple syrup and not like high fructose corn syrup doesn't mean this is like aligned with the paleo diet, right? So Mark actually, he had a product, this golden barbecue sauce he was obsessed with. And I looked at the ingredient statement and I was like, Mark, we cannot launch this. The formulation is 33% maple syrup. Like, and we never launched it, right? Okay. You know, we have an unsweetened ketchup and so we're totally with you on just like, as the movements become more popular, they get misinterpreted or interpreted a million different ways and kind of like dumbed down to the lowest common denominator. And there's a lot of abuse on just the philosophy behind how they're really effective. So I appreciate that you bring this up. But I remember you had me doing 20 total grams of carbohydrates a day. You were like, I don't care about net carbs.
I remember you totally right now. And when we're done, I'm going to talk to you about, you had me talking to Mark. And how I pretty much cried afterwards. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. I introduced you to Mark. Yeah, the whole thing. Yes.
Boom. Mm-hmm. I just remembered everything. Okay.
Yeah. But I just thought that was so interesting because back then everyone was counting net carbs. So like, how do you feel about fibers play in just like the guidelines now?
It made me cry because you were the one, you wanted me to talk to him about fiber and all of that. And I was like, it affects your blood sugar. Test yourself.
Yeah.
And he was saying how it's soluble fiber, not insoluble fiber, and this and that, and how that's better for you. I was like, doesn't matter when it's in your bloodstream, because it doesn't.
Yeah.
I work with type 1 diabetics all the time. You know the product Chalk Zero?
No.
So in the keto community, there's this, and I hope everybody hears this, and I don't care if Chalk Zero hears this either, because it's just junk. It's filled with tapioca fiber and inulin fiber and stuff that I just don't recommend. And so we all tested with our blood sugars, and type 1 diabetics, like all different types of people. So the Chalk Zero chocolate versus a Snickers bar, same amount.
Macronutrient and profile, you lined up the serving size. Okay.
Yeah. And which one do you think made your blood sugar go higher?
I bet the Chalk Zero did. I'm with you. Am I right? No, I'm right.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely. It went higher. A lot higher. And then if you just dive down into what are the ingredients causing that, it's soluble fibers.
Highly processed fiber powders.
Yeah.
And they're in all these bars because there's no way to hold a bar together. Like we used to manufacture bars. We tried we had a super low carb bar and it was really hard to manufacture, like near impossible, because everyone will say 10 grams or 3 grams of net carbs and they'll have like 18 grams of soluble corn fiber or inulin or whatever tapioca syrup in to bind the bar together. So yeah. I've always felt like that was a little snake oily too.
And that's why he made me cry, because he just didn't want to hear it, but whatever, it's fine. He's like,
in a bad way. I love it.
He's fine.
Oh my God. I'm like, yeah, I introduced you to Mark. And now I'm like, no, that wasn't me. I think that was someone else.
I'm still very grateful for you, because I knew you and I understood what was going on, but digging down deeper into fiber, because you might not know this, my husband has Lyme disease really quite bad, and it made his immune system so weak, because we didn't know what he thought it was an old football injury causing some back pain, but come to find out it was Lyme disease for 10 years that he didn't know about, and it caused his immune system to be so weak. He now has something called ankylosing spondylitis, which is where your joints calcify. Like you start to, your joints turn to bone, basically, you know, so he can't really move very much because it's all calcified.
Okay.
But this is when we ventured into the carnivore lifestyle. Why? Because we're learning about all of these anti-nutrients. And also, like, people think you need fiber to poo. That's not true. Think about a newborn baby. It poops all the time. It doesn't eat fiber, right?
Yeah, nobody poops as much as a newborn baby. That's
for sure. I know, right? But like the body does not need fiber to eliminate. And learning about how fiber becomes a menace, something that I work with a lot in my field is diverticulitis, Crohn's, and colitis. And what I'm finding is that fiber is becoming such a, you know, a terrible thing for the body. It's causing all of these issues because it's irritating the intestines. It's not healing it. It's not causing you to do better or whatever. People think that, oh, it makes you not so hungry. Well, we can argue that all day long, but your colon does need salt and hydration. It doesn't need fiber. So like when people start like a fiber supplement when they're constipated, probably get more constipated because it's just going to suck up more liquid and, you know, cause that colon to not be so hydrated. It's just got like a sponge, right? The carnivore diet's great for like constipation if you get your hydration and electrolytes right with like sodium. But anyway, that's like the whole fiber thing that I remember you. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So on the carb, back to the thing then. So your version of keto is if someone has excess fat on their body, that could replace some of the fat they're consuming in their diet. So like I would say keto is commonly interpreted, just like you said, super high fat. It's like you're adding fat to everything. You're consuming all this excess fat. But for you, you're probably focusing more on protein then, it sounds like.
Yes. I have a free calculator if anybody wants to try it out on my website at ketomaria.com. But it's going to ask you, you know, like what are your goals? And then what are your, you know, your body fat percentage? And I help you figure out what that is. Because a lot of people, I would say most people underestimate their body fat percentage because it's hard to admit that you're 40% body fat.
Yeah,
but, you know, totally. A lot of people are. But then it's going to give you your personal macros because your macros are different than mine. And so it's going to give you a fat macro and that's a maximum. You can go under that. It's going to give you a protein macro. You have to hit that or you can go over that if you're still hungry. And then the carbohydrates is a maximum. I want you to stay underneath that. And so it seems like, oh my gosh, what do I do with that, right? But I have this really cool thing where you could use my recipes to plug it into a meal plan. You just drag it into your meal planner and then it automatically calculates your calories, carbohydrates, fat, and protein. And you can see if it fits your macros. And if it doesn't, switch them out and, you know, things like that. So
I love this. I just went on your website right now and I see you scroll all the way to the bottom and you can see this really cool keto and carnivore macro calculator. You need to get on here.
Thank you so much.
Fascinating. Thanks. Well, you just like, I mean, it's kind of a trip because I haven't seen you in a while and I feel like you just continue to get like fitter and fitter and fitter. Like what is going on? You're aging reverse.
Oh, you're very, very sweet. I don't want to cry, but like, thank you. Because I get a lot of hate out there all the time. And I'm working so hard. Like I'm lifting weights. I'm running all the time. I don't drink any alcohol. I don't drink coffee. I eat very clean and healthy. And people like make fun of my size all the time.
And like your size in what way? Like they,
I'm too small. I'm anorexic, you know, this and that. And it hurts because I just try to put like love out into the world and free information. And I want people to feel better about themselves after I'm with them. And it's hard for me to understand why someone would want to rip you down so much.
Totally.
But like yesterday was a really bad day for that. And I just, you know, and all because I did a live video showing you how to make a carnivore recipe. And it was just mean, 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 mean. And I was like, and some of it's racism too, because I have two black children and it's like, that's still going on. And I understand, but I don't understand. Like,
no,
I'm not
there's
in
no
denial,
understanding
like,
that. There's I'm not no understanding.
I know. I'm not in denial, but to be like, really? Still?
Like it's 2023. I mean, almost 2024. Yeah, I know. I feel like that.
And I would just like die if my kids saw that.
Yeah, I know. That's tough. I don't even know how you deal with that.
Thank you for saying that, though, to back up. Because, yeah, do you remember running the mile in school?
Yeah.
My mom remembers this. I tried to break my leg. That's how much I hated exercise.
Get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Yeah. And now it's like I have some of my best ideas and creations when I'm out there. Just I usually go before the sun rises. I don't know. It's just I don't know how I changed, but I didn't want to be sick anymore, you know, like, and I went through that stage. I think a lot of people do where you're really good, like during the week, and then the weekends happen and you go out drinking with your friends and then a French fry sneaks in and then you're like, well, might as well have the cake. And, you know, and then you wake up Monday not liking yourself anymore. And I just would like mentally journal like, okay, so for a few moments of pleasure of eating, I feel awful for days, weeks, months. I was like, that the time versus enjoyment versus not feeling good, it doesn't equal out. It doesn't make sense to me. And I don't, now that I've created, I even have a recipe for a Pop-Tart, but now that I have all these recipes, I do not feel like I'm left out. Right before we started, I was taking pictures on the beach. My son and I just made a flourless red velvet cake. And we tried it. We're like, wow, this is really good. Like, I can't believe it's healthy, you know? And that's how I feel. Like, but this is the thing, Morgan. Like, if you're the type of person that's always like, oh, Maria said I can't have any rice. Maria said I can't have bread anymore. You're going to fail and you're not going to make it. But if you're like, oh, Maria said I could have some like chicken wings. And she said like, I could have this red velvet cake thing, but I have to make it. If you like think on the positive side, first of all, people will want to be around you.
Yeah.
And you will succeed. But that's how, like, when I was told I couldn't have my own children, I didn't be like, oh, woe is me. Like, and start, you know, being all depressed. I was like, oh, there are so many children in the world. I am meant to do this. Yeah. You know, I thought about it differently. And so I just want people to kind of be like, oh yeah, I need to think positive and whatever it is. It doesn't have to be your diet. It could be like your job or, you know, working out, whatever. And that was the thing about working out. I was like, I met so many people that couldn't move their body. I taught yoga for a while. And there's a lot of people that were disabled in many ways that would still come to class, but have to modify. And I was like, I'm so lucky to be able to move, to be able to run, you know, like, don't take that for granted.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like every year you get older, some of that stuff becomes just easier to recognize and appreciate. Like, you're invincible in your teens. So back to your story, like, I'm curious. So I know you've adopted two boys. They're adorable. I've been following you on Instagram forever, so I feel like I know your family, but I don't. So I'm just some creepy Instagram follower. But so you go through this whole change, right? Like, so does your PCOS reverse? Like, did you then become able to have kids again, or was that damage like done? Like, fill me in on the journey and when you got into adopting.
So I met my husband, Craig, when I was only 17. He, however, was a lot older. And I think about it now. I was like, oh my gosh, if I was that... I was my mother, I would just have a heart attack because he was 26. But he's like the nicest person I've ever met in my life. He just really was. Quietest, nice. I've never seen him mad. So when I was only 17 at that time, and I told him, I said, you know, last year I was told I couldn't have my own children because I was 16 at that time when I was told that. And he's like, you know, I don't care. And we were like madly in love. I was married before I could legally drink alcohol. So I was engaged at 19. And our whole idea was we will have children, but we are going to adopt.
Got it. Okay.
And we had this discussion. And I said, you know, like, I'm healing. And he's like, if we adopt, I just want to adopt. I don't want, you know, adoptive children to feel like they're less, or I don't want them to have any inkling in their heart that they're not just as important. And I know that might sound weird, but.
No, I get it. That's a tough dynamic. Like, I think there, thought into that on what was going to work for your family and you didn't want to introduce that dynamic. I totally get
it. And we've known a lot of families that have had both, and there was, you know, and I don't know what went on behind closed doors, and I don't judge anybody for any doing whatever they want to do. But for us, that was just, okay, if you go this route, all of them are going to be adopted. And we did want to adopt more. That's when Craig got sick. And we had to, man, we spent more money on his healing than our house. Like, it's just, you know, like anything that could possibly get him better. I'm like, let's just do it. You know, I don't even have a car because, you know, he wanted a oxygen chamber and I don't really like being in a car anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Crazy. You guys have an oxygen chamber?
Yes. It's the only thing that really helps with his pain. 100%. Really? Like, he can throw football with the kids and it's just, Yeah, it's unreal. Like, he went to a hospital to try it first to see if
it would help.
He was going to try anything. And he would come back. He's like, I feel so good after doing that. I can't believe it. And then, you know, he must have been doing some research about buying one. And I was like,
yeah,
do what you got to do.
Do you go in it? It's a hyperbaric oxygen chamber for the folks listening.
I should. I know. But if you know me, I don't sit still very well.
Okay.
So
this is on my list of like things I want is the hyperbaric oxygen chamber. But then I'm like, I don't know, maybe there's more research on the sauna, but I just think I'm a migraine sufferer, like a pretty bad migraine sufferer. So I'm like researching anything that could help with that. I feel like
I'm going to email you some of my tricks. Okay.
Okay. I would love that. Tell us a few for anyone listening who has migraines, because I don't want to leave anyone hanging. I would be devastated if I didn't get to hear your tricks.
Okay. Migraines. Let me ask you, are they monthly or are they random?
They're like, I would say once every 7 to 10 days, but always right before my cycle.
Then, okay, it's a low progesterone issue. I would add in and always consult with your doctor, something called evening primrose oil.
Okay.
And I would do 3 capsules. And this is on my website because not all of them are created equal. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, totally.
There's the evening primrose on my website, and do 3 of those capsules that are on there. Okay.
Every day?
Every single day with food. So if you eat 3 times, do 1 with each meal.
Okay.
If you are a male, though, this wouldn't be your issue. But borage oil is for males or women who haven't menstruated yet, not evening primrose oil. So that's a little complicated. And then can you fall asleep but you can't stay asleep?
I fall asleep, but I get woken up. We have 3 kids under the age of 5.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you were like 20.
I know, yeah, you're so sweet. I turned 40 in April, but I get woken up and then I can't go back to sleep. So but I don't know if that's just like a toddler problem. I'm getting woken up. I'm not waking up on my own.
Because there's some other things you could try to add in. Do you do any like quality magnesium, not citrate or oxide?
I do. I take like glycinate before bed. How I much? Have a few. God, I don't even know. 400 milligrams maybe or something like that.
You might want to increase that a bit.
Yeah.
Depending on if your stools can handle it. But what magnesium does is it relaxes blood vessels. And so that's why it's really great for high blood pressure or migraines. But also like sodium, you cannot absorb magnesium without sodium. So, this is why like we like the Element, or you could just salt your food.
Yeah. Redmond Relight. I like that one.
Do that. Yeah. So I've had people with migraines need up to like 4 of them a day.
Really?
Yep. So one person needed 5. But the evening primrose oil and more sodium and more magnesium will probably help. But the trick is you have to find out, you know, if it's, you know, like that, you can definitely tell it's around your cycle. It's usually low progesterone. And I usually recommend like this all natural, it's called Progest Cream.
Okay.
And you would just put that on some area of thin skin at bedtime. And you don't seem like an anxious person. Do you notice more anxiety than usual?
I think I probably do tend towards anxiety. I think like I'm a visionary type live in the future person. And I think when you spend a lot of time mentally in the future, you're more prone to anxiety than any other of the things. So yeah, I would say that's probably I'm not like constantly anxious. Yeah. I'm not like, you know, but I would tend that way.
I would say if they don't go away with those modifications, add in that Progest cream at bedtime. Okay. But you'd want to rotate with your cycle, which is the directions are on the box. But it will help with the migraines will go away. Like that's one of the easier things for me to fix.
Interesting. I love it. Okay.
I can send you an email.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. This is wonderful. I hope other migraine sufferers are listening. Brutal. So how do you think, like, how has your thinking evolved? Like, what have you learned? Where did you start with the keto and the diet philosophy? And like, where are you now? Would you call it are you more carnivore now, or are you just doing your own thing?
Yeah. I mean, I do have some books called A Protein Sparing Modified Fast Method, and that's a whole, have you heard of that?
Yes. I know you have a lot of like protein sparing recipes too. Yeah. Tell people what that means. Like, what is protein sparing?
So when I wrote my first book, I called these my pure protein days. And that was how I finally lost weight. Remember, I was telling you I was doing too much nuts and dairy, too much fat in general. And I had to focus on protein in order to lose weight. And the I didn't know there was a medical term, and it's called protein sparing, which to me, it seems like it's sparing you from eating protein, but no,
right,
it's
sparing like less your body. Protein.
Right. Okay. But it's sparing your body from using its own protein. It's the muscles, basically. So it's a high protein, not high, it's a adequate protein diet, but you lower the fat quite a bit and lower the carbohydrates, just like you already were doing. But you lower that fat quite a bit, just enough so you can absorb vitamins and minerals, that your gallbladder still works. The body does not need a lot of fat a day. But here's the thing. Protein is not a good energy source. So if you don't have a lot of energy on your body, I had a client named Tyler, and he was 650 pounds. He had a lot of energy on his body that he could tap into if he needed to, but he was never allowing himself to. But then he started doing the protein sparing modified fast diet, and he lost 100 pounds in 2 months.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Should it be slower? At his point, he was so sick, he needed to get rid of it.
I mean, he probably had a lot of inflammation and maybe some water loss, I would imagine, at first.
Oh, right? Yeah. I had someone that was 500 pounds, and she had something called pitting edema, and she would be 20 pounds up or 20 pounds down, depending on if she stayed on the diet. She didn't lose that much in a day. She didn't gain that much weight in a day. That was all water weight.
But when she was weighing in daily, it would have a swing of 20 pounds.
Whether she was following the diet or not, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the pitting. She ended up losing some of the weight too.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
so
there's no judging. I'm not a judgy person.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to encourage people. And I know everybody, we have life struggles and things like that. And I'm here if anybody, you know, needs to get back on the wagon, but I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah, so you got it. You can lead the horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So tell me one of your favorite success stories.
Her name is Kiki. And Kiki had an autoimmune condition called alopecia, where you lose all your hair. And Kiki was a professor. And we were lifting weights together we'd do like body pump at the gym.
Yeah.
And one day she came up to me and she said, "Hey, Maria," and she always wore a bare bandana. "Hey, Maria, my name's Kiki. We've been lifting weights. We just never talked." Right.
Right.
And she's like, "I want to hire you. I have alopecia and I heard you could help me." And this was at the end of summer. And so she came into my office and we had our consultation. And we kind of met for like a month. And then all of a sudden I didn't see her. She didn't lift weights with me anymore because I went during the day and she was a professor and school started. And she just kind of didn't stay in contact. And I'm not a pushy person. May happened and school's over. She shows up at the gym and she has her stupid bandana on. She comes up to me and she whips it off. And she said, "Maria," she started bawling. She said, "I had my first haircut in 10 years. She had a full head of hair. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And as a woman, like a good hair day, a bad hair day kind of makes your day, right? Like,
yeah,
I just can't imagine. But she's one of my favorite stories and also one of my sad stories because she loved ice cream. She loved ice cream. And I'm like, "Here, Kiki, just make my coconut milk ice cream. There's no dairy in it." Because with autoimmune issues, you have to address the dairy issue. That's where most of my books are dairy free as well. They're all gluten free, but dairy can be an issue in many autoimmune issues. And dairy was her issue, causing her hair loss. And she just loved her ice cream to the point where she bald again. She knows how to grow her hair back, but she'd rather have ice cream.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
Wow. Now, what about like, okay, some of these, like you've mentioned a few where it sounds like there's rebounding. Like, are people able to stick to this diet and keep the weight off?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's hundreds, like there's thousands, you know, it's just, you know, some of those stick out in my head because I'm
emotionally invested. You're there for the journey.
I am. Totally. And most of them are, you know, like we didn't work together for a very long time. But most of them are with me for a very long time. And one of them's Twyla. Twyla is a rock star. She's now one of my coaches. She lost 274 pounds. 274 pounds. Just think about it. That's two of you, you know, like that's just, she could not even go like shopping because if she needed to use a restroom, she wouldn't be able to fit into a bathroom stall. Wow. And so She is a rock star. She was featured on the cover of Women's World magazine. And yeah, we talk all the time. I should do another interview with her. She's amazing. And you know,
so you've got a lot of people that are sticking with it and keeping it off long term. It's totally feasible.
100%.
Question. I have a lot of like rapid fire questions for you, but do you still work with Halle Berry? How'd she find you? Did you like help her get in shape for a movie? I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it, but I think it'd be fun for the audience to hear.
Yeah, no, I definitely have like an NDA.
Yes, okay.
The things I can talk about, I did not know she was even keto. And then all of a sudden I was sitting with my kids and my phone was just blowing up. I'm like, what is going on? And everybody's like, Halle Berry's doing like, she's talking about you on her Instagram and this and that. She's doing your recipes on her stories. And I'm like, what? And so, I mean, I should have known better, but I messaged her on Instagram just saying, like, I'm really grateful for you. Like, I think it was just simple as that.
Yeah.
And she said, no, Maria, I'm the one grateful for you. But I'm guessing it was her, like, she probably has multiple people, right? Yeah. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then we just started communicating kind of that way. And it turned out really to be her. And we sent her just a thank you card because I didn't know if she knew our story. Cause that's why I started writing. When we were adopting the boys, Craig lost his job and someone said, Maria, why don't you put your recipes together in a book to raise money for your adoption? And I just wanted her to know that, you know, that's how she helped with the adoption. And, you know, we still help with that. So, with children and, in need. But no, she's amazing. She could be the biggest diva and she's not. She's like super, super chill. She does not want anybody to like bend over backwards for her. She's just really an amazing.
And she seems very dedicated to health and wellness. It's cool that you were like part of her journey or she,
thank you. Yeah, she has diabetes. And so she does it for type 2 with diabetes.
Yeah. That's crazy. Okay. You do all these, like, I know you've mentioned a little bit about it, but you've got like flourless chocolate cake and you're very much like, this doesn't need to be a chicken and broccoli diet. So do you have some favorite ingredients that you always have on hand that are maybe like unique?
Unique ones? Cause I'm trying to make them like more, cause I have, you know, readers all over the world and I don't like it when I have something that they can't use.
I guess, what are some of your favorite things besides like meat and vegetables?
The protein sparing bread.
Okay.
For sure. And that's just like whipped egg whites with egg white powder. But that recipe is about 17 years old now. It turns out like Wonder Bread. It's really, Morgan, you got to try it. I have these Hawaiian rolls made with that bread. And people are like, what in the madness is this?
No, it's on this right now. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and they're all free recipes on my website. Yeah. I mean, obviously I have some for my clients and stuff, but I have thousands. I've been blogging since blogging started, but the Hawaiian rolls are really awesome. That's the thing. Like there's nothing you can't have.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to be,
what do you think about egg issues though? I mean, a lot of people like myself, I've had egg issues in the past. Like, would you be worried about?
Yeah. If you have a, like an egg allergy, you know, you can most likely use duck eggs, but of course, like who has duck eggs, you know, it's hard to get.
It's like 20 but duck egg whites.
Was it a self-diagnosis, like you don't feel good?
No, I mean, I did one of those like things and protein came back and she was like, or eggs came back and she's like, the naturopathic doctor, she's like, egg comes back on everything. So she told me to do an elimination diet and then reintroduce it. And I was eating, I was like kind of pescatarian for 6 years. So I was eating a ton of eggs.
That's when they will show up high.
Yeah.
So
I cut them out. But when I reintroduced them, I was like really sick, Maria.
Oh,
like,
see,
I was like in the bathroom, like on a way to a meeting. Like it was like almost like I had food poisoning. And then I was like, maybe that was a fluke. I took them out again. Like 3 months later, I tried again. Same thing, like super bloated, just bad. But now this is probably when like 8 years ago, right? And so I've kind of just, they'll be in things and I'm fine. It's not like I'm allergic, but I don't know.
And you probably can do the yolks, but you can't do the whites. That's where the protein is. That's where the allergen is. But this is why I said, you know, to me, that's self-diagnosis. You obviously did not feel well when you added them back in. But like those like IgG tests and stuff, it's going to be elevated whatever you're eating a lot of.
Yeah.
So unless it's like a stool test that, and you like definitely have a reaction to it. I don't know. Eggs are like, dairy.
Or I could just try and see how I feel. Maybe try the eggs again now that I've taken such a long break.
I know, but I don't want you to feel awful. But you can often heal your gut lining with like things like L-glutamine. That's a really good thing to heal your gut with. You know, if it's definitely an autoimmune issue, you're probably going to have it forever. But if it's just...
I don't have any autoimmune, thank God.
Yeah. So it could just have been like a gut reaction and healing your gut with certain, you know, nutrients. And food is healing, but there's some things like supplements are good for when you get the good quality ones.
Yeah,
and I don't sell... I don't sell the supplements. I'm just, it's changed my life in many ways. And I see it with people.
What supplements are your favorite?
The ones that people probably don't know about.
What are you using? Tell me, give us.
Yeah. Even my kids do vitamin K2 and they have since basically we adopted them. It's probably the most underutilized unknown vitamin K2. It's not K1. It helps get calcium into the bones where it's needed. And most of your bones are built before you're age 18. So if you think about your kids, are they eating a lot of protein? Because that's like the most important. Your bones are like mineralized protein. That's what they are. I actually had, it's so cool. I was running the beach like 3 mornings ago and this woman, it was still dark out. And she's like, Maria Emmerich. And I was like, oh geez. You know, I kind of looked like a drowned rat. I was all wet. And I said, yes. And she goes, oh, you changed my life. And she was like, I can't believe it's you. And she was telling me how she was trying to find health. And what she did was extended fasting. And when she was doing extended fasting, she got diagnosed with osteopenia, osteoporosis, osteoporosis. And so she still wanted to find health, but we taught her like our protein sparing ways. And then she reversed her osteoporosis and still lost weight and felt great. But anyway, vitamin K2, magnesium, it just really depends on, you know, what your issues are. But you know, vitamin K2 and magnesium are probably something. And, you know, knowing what your vitamin D levels are is really helpful too.
For sure. Thoughts on Ozempic?
I did a whole YouTube video about the new miracle GLP-1. Weight loss drug.
Yeah.
And, it's interesting because I have people in my life that are food addicts and it's helping with addiction in general. However, when you are taking something like that, your appetite is so low that you're most likely not going to reach towards protein. It almost makes you, ugh, I don't want to eat that. You know, like,
you're turned off by it, like almost like when you're pregnant or something. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that's going to cause, so when you look at the studies, when people lose weight naturally, they lose about, I don't know if it's like 25% of their muscle is lost when they lose weight. And this is why I'm so passionate about the protein sparing diet, because you barely lose any muscle mass, if any, when you're losing fat. But when you're on Ozempic, it's like 50% of your weight loss is muscle. And so why I don't think that's helping with like insulin resistance or type 2 diabetes, that's what it's claiming it helps with. But when you're losing weight, you want to maintain your muscle because that gives your body more places for glucose to go. And if you just lose a bunch of muscle, you're going to go off the medication eventually because it's like $1,000 a month. And when you get off of it, your type 2 diabetes is going to be worse because you lost a bunch of muscle and you're not going to be as strong. Like the long-term effects are, first of all, not 100% known, but what we do know is really bad.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. We've talked a lot of the protein sparing diet. Can you summarize it for me? Cause I'm still just like confused on what it means.
Protein sparing is a high protein or moderate, adequate protein diet.
Are we talking like 1 gram per pound of body weight type target? Okay.
Yeah. Or like ideal body weight. Cause if you're 500 pounds, you don't want 500.
Okay. Okay.
So of your ideal body weight and then very low fat, like 20 to 30 grams of fat and, 10 grams of carbs. My calculator will give you your protein sparing macros if you want them. You just have to say you want those in addition because protein sparing is not something you do every day. It's maximum 3 days a week but you can do it one day a week. It's not really for someone who's 10 pounds overweight because you don't have a lot of storage on your body already, and you're going to be miserably hungry. Yeah. But when you do have, you know, 100 pounds to lose, you will not be hungry. You're tapping into your body fat. Most people feel so good on protein sparing days. They say, can I do this like every day this week? And like, no, you can't.
You're like, no, got it.
No. Okay. Because then what only about like 800 calories?
Okay. Got it. So this is a tool you use in the short term, more likely when you have extreme weight to lose.
Instead of extended fasting.
I see. Okay. And then what about the 5 to 10 pound people? What do they do? 5 to 10 pounds to lose.
I give them their proper macros. Their proper keto macros with, you know, really good protein amounts. You know, probably more of a moderate fat, you know, low carbohydrate. And I say dairy and nut free. Sleep at least 8 hours. It's ideal to cut out all coffee for many, many reasons, including weight loss. But
Kelly Levesque says that too. The first thing she does, she works with a lot of, I don't know if you know Kelly, she's great. She's like protein, fat, fiber, and greens, but you would love her. She's a close friend of mine. She works with a lot of folks too. And she says some like most of the time, the first thing she does is like, no caffeine.
It's very
what
hard.
What about matcha? Do I need to cut out my matcha?
I have not seen any studies showing this, and I've not had any clients switch to that to see if it helps, but I've had people go from regular coffee to decaf and it's still just as bad. And then as soon as they cut the decaf out, and I don't recommend decaf coffee because it's made with a chlorinated filtration process, but they'll cut the decaf out and boom, like 5 pounds in a week. And that's the only thing that's changed.
That's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't have any caffeine, and this energy is like, nothing.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. We're almost out of time. So I'll just give you my last question, which is, what is something most people don't know about you? I ask everyone this.
Everybody knows my whole life. Did you know I'm a bow hunter? I bow hunt deer.
No, I didn't know that.
But people know that now because I posted on my Instagram. I don't shoot a lot of deer. I shoot one when my family needs to eat and it feeds us for a very long time.
Yeah.
Well, we use the whole animal. We process it ourselves. And I lost like 3,000 followers in an hour. It's just unreal. And I was like, and I would get these messages like, you should buy your meat at the store like the rest of us civilized humans. And I was like, really?
Where do you think the meat at the store comes from? Like, hello, actually the most civilized thing.
I know.
And actually Maria and I have, for those listening, we have a Wisconsin connection in common. And if you've been to Wisconsin, I mean, they have deer season because the deer population is so out of control. So
it is out of control. And I tell them, like, do you want to hit them with your car and possibly hurt your family? Like, no, you don't want to. You need a limiting factor with those types of herds, because if you don't, like, something is going, they're either going to starve to death, hit by cars, you know, something's going to take the herd out.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues. Interesting. Yeah. But what a badass bow hunting is, like, hard to do.
I grew up doing it. Well, you know, Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, that's like, that's what you do to survive. Like, I remember my mom telling stories about how her dad would poach deer. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that, but they were starving. They did not have anything to eat. They were very poor.
So. Yeah. My dad went to high school in northern Wisconsin. He graduated up there. And the opening day of deer season, like, the whole, nobody has school, like, the whole town shuts down.
I don't bow hunt though. I only bow hunt, and bow hunting is much different than the opening season of, that's crazy. Everybody.
Yeah, it's a whole nother thing, but okay. This was so wonderful. I feel like we packed a lot into a short period of time. Thank you so much for spending the time with us. Can you let everyone know where they can follow you or find more information about what you're up to?
Well, the easiest place to go is to go to ketomaria.com. I have really great, we're going to Portugal, we're going to Thailand, we're doing some fun retreats all over the place where I teach you everything you need to know, and you get to travel and see beautiful things all over the world if you want to come. But if you go to ketomaria.com and go to the bottom, you'll find my YouTube links, you'll find my private Facebook groups that are free that you can join. All of the information's there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you, Morgan. Thank you.